الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنون حتى تحابوا أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته My respected brothers in Islam, honorable elders, and young friends, and also sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Through the sheer grace and infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was honored to recite a hadith, a beautiful saying of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, wherein he says, لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter Jannah, you will not enter Paradise until you become perfect believers. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. And you will not become perfect believers until you love each other. Until you love each other, you will not be able to become perfect believers. And until you do not become perfect believers, you will not be able to enter Jannah. When you begin to love each other, you will become perfect believers. And when you become perfect believers, you will enter Jannah. لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not be able to enter Jannah until you become perfect believers. Okay. There are two categories of believers: ordinary and complete. Ordinary believer, complete believer, perfect believer, imperfect believer. One who believes from the depth of his heart in everything that is conveyed to him by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam without a shadow of doubt, and thereafter he proclaims this belief by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He enters the fold of Islam. He enters Iman, and he is seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the Malaika, by the Anbiya, by the Sahaba, by the Muslim Ummah, as a believer. He is a believer. And as soon as a person becomes a believer, he becomes the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of the believers. Allah is the friend of those people who accept Iman. Upon accepting Iman, upon becoming the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain obligations are laid down upon his shoulders. Certain things become compulsory. Certain things become incumbent. Certain things become desirable. After accepting Iman, after becoming a believer, after becoming the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain things become compulsory, fard. Performance of 5 times salat is fard. Giving of zakat becomes fard. Performance of hajj becomes fard. Fasting in the month of Ramadan becomes fard. Abstinence from so many vices becomes fard. Certain things become incumbent, wajib. Performing 3 rak'at after the Isha Salat becomes wajib. Performing of the Eid Salat becomes wajib. Sadaqatul Fitr becomes wajib. Qurbani becomes wajib. With its stipulated conditions. Certain things becomes desirable. So many sunan and so many mustahabbat. After accepting Iman, certain things become fard, certain things become wajib, certain things become mustahab. As soon as these things become fard, wajib and mustahab, and these responsibilities are laid upon his shoulders, the more he will fulfill and carry out these responsibilities, the more he will become complete and perfect. And the more he will neglect, the more he will become imperfect and incomplete. So we have somebody here who has entered the fold of Islam, Iman.
Salat has become fard, so he is performing 5 times salat regularly. Zakat has become fard, he is giving zakat. Hajj has become fard, he has performed hajj. Sawm has become fard, he is fasting. Let us take only these 4 fundamentals as examples. So as far as these 4 fundamentals are concerned, he will be considered a perfect mu'min. But we have the second person who has entered the fold of Islam, believes in everything that was conveyed to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without a shadow of doubt. There is no difference in the belief. And he performs 5 times salat regularly. He gives zakat. He also fasts in the month of Ramadan, but despite Hajj being fard, he is not prepared to perform Hajj. So compared to the first believer, he is 25% imperfect. Now you have a person who is carrying out all the faraid, and who is carrying out all the wajibat, and who is very, very precocious as far as Sunan Muakkada is concerned. But beyond that, he is not interested. All faraid are there, all wajibat are there. He does not commit a single sin. All Sunan Muakkada in his life. So alhamdulillah, he is a perfect believer. But you have another person who is doing everything that he is doing, and on top of that, he is punctual with his Sunan Ghair Muakkada. So he is more perfect than the first believer. But that is his boundary. He stops at Sunan Ghair Muakkada. You have a third person who is doing everything that he is doing, and on top of that, in his life you see so many mustahabbat. So he is more perfect than the second person. So you have an ordinary believer, a common believer, and thereafter you have a special believer, you have a perfect believer, you have a complete believer. The more a person carries out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more perfect his iman becomes. The more perfect mu'min he becomes. And the more he neglects, the more imperfect he becomes. The first person, the ordinary believer, is a common wali. He is a common friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second believer, the perfect believer, he is the special wali, special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every mu'min is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the friend of every mu'min. But some mu'min choose to remain common friends, ordinary friends, and others, they strive, they work hard, and they make sure that they fulfill all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the wajibat. They become the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They accept iman, and after accepting iman, they become muttaqi. Muttaqi is the one who abstains from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muttaqi is the one who safeguards himself from every action, every word, every behavior that displeases his creator. As soon as a person reaches this stage, he becomes a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, you have various categories in the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. There are some who excel mustahabbat. There are some who excel over mustahabbat, nawafil. optional and voluntary fasting, optional voluntary spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, optional voluntary salat. So there is no limit. And the highest stage of wilayat is when a person becomes siddiq. And the best person and the most virtuous person after the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So here you have the status of wilayat, and where the status of wilayat ends begins the status of nubuwwah. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is known as Siddiq Akbar because he is on the borderline of nubuwwah. He is Siddiq Akbar, he is the greatest Siddiq. He has reached the highest peak of this status of being a Siddiq, and he has reached the highest status of the status of being a Siddiq as well. He is the Siddiq Akbar. Now, what is the difference between an ordinary believer and a perfect believer, or a ordinary friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as the hereafter is concerned, or as far as this world is concerned? What is the difference between the two? Because Allah is the friend of an ordinary believer, Allah is the friend of a special believer, perfect believer. So as far as an ordinary believer is concerned, he may feel that if Allah is my friend, fine, ordinary friend, common friend, that's enough for me. What is the difference between the two? What is the difference between the effects of the two? The difference, my friends, is that when a person becomes the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when a person becomes a perfect believer, then peace of mind and tranquility of the heart is secured for him. As far as an ordinary believer is concerned, there is no guarantee. Today he has peace of mind, he has tranquility of heart. What may happen after 2 months? What may happen after 5 months? What may happen after 10 months? Only Allah knows. As far as the special friend of Allah is concerned, and as far as a perfect believer is concerned, peace of mind and tranquility of the heart is guaranteed. Peace of mind and tranquility of the heart is guaranteed whether he is rich or poor. It is guaranteed whether he is honored or disgraced. It is guaranteed whether he is healthy or sick. It is guaranteed whether he is young or old. This is the first difference. Second difference. As far as the perfect believer is concerned, and as far as the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, Husn-e Khatima is guaranteed. Husn-e Khatima is guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a good departure from this world. Husn-e Khatima is guaranteed. As far as an ordinary believer is concerned, he is not guaranteed Husn-e Khatima. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to him, he may leave this world with iman. If not, he may leave this world without iman. Number three, third difference. For the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the perfect believer, the qabr and the grave becomes a garden from the gardens of paradise. This is a guarantee. For a common believer, for a common friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ordinary believer, there is no guarantee. It may become a garden from the gardens of paradise, it may become a ditch from the ditches of hell. إِنَّمَا الْقَبْرُ رَوْزَةٌ مِنْ رِيَادِ الْجَنَّةَ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ. Qabr is a garden from the gardens of paradise for some people, and it is a ditch from the ditches of hell for others. There is no guarantee. Fourth difference. the day of Qiyamah, the perfect believer and the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be granted shade under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guaranteed. As far as the common friend and ordinary believer is concerned, there is no guarantee. If Allah wills, he will be granted shade under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills, he will have to witness the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Fifth difference, easy reckoning. Easy reckoning. Easy reckoning means the person will be brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without any interrogation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, you may proceed and go into Jannah. This is the easy reckoning. Al-Ard, he will only be brought to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be asked, where did you spend your life? And before he can answer, okay, where did you spend your youth? And before he can answer, where did you earn your wealth from? Before he can answer, hold on, where did you spend your wealth? Before he can answer, how much did you practice upon the knowledge that was given to you? Because these five questions are necessary. So one after the other, the questions will be asked, and suddenly he will be told that, hold on for a second, just proceed and go into Jannah. This is the easy reckoning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to make this dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah, when you reckon me on the day of Qiyamah, reckon me with ease. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all an easy reckoning. Amen. Easy reckoning is guaranteed. And as far as the ordinary mu'min is concerned, as far as a common friend is concerned, easy reckoning is not guaranteed. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wills, He will grant him easy reckoning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that a person will be brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be an ordinary believer. He will be a common friend. One whom after accepting iman did not fulfill all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him death on iman. What happened in the qabr, only Allah knows. What happened on the day of Qiyamah when he was resurrected, only Allah knows. But he will be brought to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to enumerate his mistakes that he had committed in this world, until he himself will feel that I have perished. There is no possibility of me entering Jannah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking me, did you not commit this sin? 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 Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him very quietly, that did anybody get to know in the world that you were committing these sins? He will say, no Allah. No Allah, you concealed me. My young friends, as a note of advice, let me tell you something. Committing a sin in any condition is disastrous. One should avoid committing sins. One, after listening to such ahadith, should not become complacent, should not become relaxed and say, well, I will be treated in this manner. One should try his utmost to stay away from sins, because we may not be in this category. May Allah forbid if we are in the other category. Who will save us from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we must at all times try our utmost to safeguard ourselves from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we do commit a sin and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals our disobedience, we are watching a film and there is nobody there. No Zaid, no Amr, no Bakr, no Ibrahim, no Ismail, no friend. Only on our own, in our flat, we are sitting there alone watching film. This act of committing the sin is very, very dangerous. And it is very evil. One cannot say that it is something good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's concealment whilst you are committing that sin is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, we commit so many sins in the darkness of the night, behind curtains and veils. We commit so many sins when we are away from the public. And months after months pass, years after years pass, and there is no decrease in our honor whatsoever when we are with the community. Within the community, there is no decrease in our honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disclose our mistake. This is a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals our faults, to disclose that fault ourselves is being very, very cheeky with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one sin that Allah will never forgive. كُلُّ أُمَّتِ مُعَافًا إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ Each individual of my ummah has the hope of being forgiven, except for that person who disobeys me openly. So either who disobeys me openly and makes other people witnesses, or he commits a sin in secret and thereafter he discloses it to other people and makes them his witness, this person will not be forgiven. Just look at this great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He conceals us. He conceals us. And on the day of Qiyamah, with some, He will behave in this manner and He will say, did anybody get to know that you were committing these sins that I have enumerated? He will say, no, Allah, nobody knew. Your grace concealed me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that go, nobody will know today as well. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from this group. First we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from the group of the muttaqeen, from the special walis, from the perfect believers. But if we make mistake here and there, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from this group. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes through His grace, He will grant them entry into Jannah direct, hisab yaseer, easy reckoning, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send them in the fire of Jahannam for years, months, to be punished for the sins that they had committed, and eventually after a long time they will be granted entry into Jannah. So easy reckoning is not guaranteed to a common believer, ordinary believer. Easy reckoning is not guaranteed to a common friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this, my friends, we have learned that if we become perfect believers and if we become special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace of mind and tranquility of the heart is guaranteed in this world. Husn-e Khatima is guaranteed in this world. Peace in the qabr and grave is guaranteed. On the day of Qiyamah, shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteed. Easy reckoning is guaranteed. And Jannah is guaranteed. As far as an ordinary believer is concerned, as far as a common friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, Allah may grant him peace and tranquility despite his disobedience, but it is not guaranteed. Allah may grant him husne khatima, but it is not guaranteed. Allah may grant him peace in the grave, but it is not guaranteed. Allah may grant him shade under his throne, but it is not guaranteed. Allah may grant him an easy reckoning, but it is not guaranteed. So from this we understand how important it is for each and every one of us to become perfect believers. How important it is for all of us to become special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Listen carefully. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have no fear. They will have nothing to fear. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor will they grieve. So no fear, no grief in this world. Grief in this world, no fear, no grief at the time of death. No fear, no grief in the grave. No fear, no grief on the day of Qiyamah. No fear, no grief at the time of reckoning. No fear, no grief on the pul sirat. And no fear and no grief because they will not enter Jahannam, they will go in Jannah. Loving each other, love between Muslims is a commanded act from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if a person fails to carry out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will remain imperfect. So it is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, لَا تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not be able to enter Jannah direct without going in the fire of hell until you become perfect believers. If you become perfect believers, then entry into Jannah without entering Jahannam is guaranteed. And if you do not become perfect believers, then there is no guarantee. So you will not be able to enter Jannah direct without entering the fire of Jahannam until you become perfect believers. And in order to become perfect believers, you will have to carry out all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of which is وَلَا تُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. And you will not be able to become perfect believers until you love each other. Allahu Akbar. This love for each other. A Muslim brother loving another Muslim brother. A Muslim sister loving another Muslim sister. Or a Muslim brother loving a Muslim sister only on the basis of Iman. Or a Muslim sister loving a Muslim brother only on the basis of Iman. We disregard this amal. We disregard this deed. It is a great amal. It is a great deed, which perfects one's Iman and which enables one to go into the fire, into Jannah, without going in the fire of Jahannam. There are so many virtues for loving each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. There are seven categories of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant shade under the shade of His throne on that day when there will be no shade except the shade of His throne. One such category is رجلان تحابا في الله. Those two people who love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other motive, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رجلان تحابا في الله اجتماع عليه وتفرق عليه. When they meet each other, they meet only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other motive. And when they depart from each other, when they separate from each other, they separate only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when each person will be witnessing the horrors of the day of Qiyamah, that day will be such that Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala has quoted a hadith in his well-known tafsir, that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will be heard saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, I am worried about myself, I am worried about myself. Oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me safety. Nafsi, Nafsi. La as'aluka illa nafsi. Oh Allah, I do not intercede in your court for anybody except myself. And he will further say, La as'aluka Maryam allati waladatni. Oh Allah, I do not even intercede for my mother Maryam who has given me birth. Nafsi, nafsi. I am only worried about myself. On that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will make an announcement. Aina al-mutahabbuna bi jalali. Where are those people who used to love each other only for my pleasure? Only for my sake? I love you. Why? Why do I love you? Is it because you are wealthy? Because you are rich? Because you are influential? No. When I check my heart, I find that I love you only because you are my Muslim brother. I love you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that when a Muslim loves another Muslim, only to please him, he becomes very happy. That's why I love you. I have no other motive. Ayn al-mutahabbuna bi jalali. Where are those people who used to love each other for my pleasure only? Al-yawma udilluhum fi dhilli yawma la dhilla illa dhilli. Today, I will grant them shade under the shade of my throne when there is no shade except the shade of my throne. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith has narrated a story of the people of the past. He said a person left his village, left his town to go into another town, to go into another village to visit his friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel in human form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angel that this person is going from this town to this town, from this village to this village. You meet him on his path and you ask him these questions. So he met, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. He said, Aina turid? Where are you going? So he said, Uridu akhan li fi hadhihi al-qariya. I am going to visit my friend in this town, in this village. So the angel said, is it because he has done you some favor in the past that you wish to reciprocate by visiting him frequently? So he said, no. Are you visiting him because you are in need of something now? He said, no. So why are you going? Why are you going to visit this friend of yours? He said, غَيْرَ أَنِّي أُحِبُّهُ لِلَّهِ. I am going to visit him because I love him for the pleasure of Allah. I am undertaking this journey from my village to his village only because I love him for the pleasure of Allah. I wish to visit him because I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angel said, I am an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys a message to you. Allah sends you a glad tidings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you that he loves you just as you love your brother. If we love a Muslim brother only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will become deserving of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is met by a tabi'i, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam, in a masjid in Damascus. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu is alone in the masjid. This tabi'i comes to meet him specially and he says, after Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam, Inni uhibbuka lillah. I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has instructed the believers that if you entertain love in your heart for your Muslim brother only for the pleasure of Allah, there is no other motive, then you should declare that love. You should say to him that I love you only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who is being loved should say, أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهُ. May he also love you for whose sake you are loving me. So he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, I love you only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala said, Allahi, by Allah. That means by Allah you love me only for His pleasure. So he said, Allahi, by Allah. He said a second time, Allahi, by Allah. He said, Allahi, by Allah. A third time he asked, Allahi, only for the pleasure of Allah, by Allah you love me only for the pleasure of Allah. He said, Allah, yes, on by Allah, I take oath of Allah, I love you only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say, wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya. My mahabbah, my love, Allah says. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi. Wajabat mahabbati, my mahabbah, my love becomes incumbent for that person, for those people who love each other only for my pleasure. Nowadays, my friends, we do not entertain this love for each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musalmanon mein khun baqi nahi hai, mahabbat ka junu baqi nahi hai. The madness of love is not there anymore. The madness of love that the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain had for each other. They would give preference to others. They would remain hungry to feed others. They would remain without clothes to clothe others. They would remain without shade to give shade to others. They would remain thirsty to quench the thirst of others. They would remain needy to fulfill the needs of others. Today, my friends, not only are our hearts void of this love, our hearts are filled with rancor, with hatred, with grudge, with jealousy for each other. And this is one of the main reasons for the downfall of the Muslim Ummah. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not descend upon the Ummah when the Ummah reaches this despicable state. So it is very, very important, my friends, to first clean our hearts. La tahasadu, do not be jealous of each other. La tabaghazu, do not hate each other. La tadabaru, when you meet each other, do not turn your faces away from each other. Do not show your backs to each other. That means do not turn your faces away from each other. Wakunu ibadallahi ikhwana. Be you the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when departing from this world, left this ummah as one, united. He left this ummah united. He left this ummah as one. And he left behind teachings which he followed, the ummah will remain united. The element for unity is Quran and Sunnah. Is Sharia. If we all follow the Sharia, if we all follow the Quran and Sunnah, if we all follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there will never arise disunity. There will never arise disunity. There will never arise disunity which will bring hatred within the community, grudge within the community, fights and quarrels within the community. But we have left the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we need to clean our hearts of these diseases, of these illnesses. And thereafter we need to work towards creating the love of our fellow Muslim brothers. We need to turn to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to turn to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and find out how I can rid myself of hatred and jealousy for my Muslim brother, and how can I bring love for this Muslim brother in my heart. One method shown by our mashayikh is, if you have hatred for somebody, if you have jealousy for somebody, then always make dua for him, whether your heart desire or not. In the initial stages it will be very difficult. In the initial stages, only your tongue will be making dua for him. Your tongue will be saying, oh Allah, keep him healthy. Whilst your heart will be desiring, no Allah. But if you continue for days and weeks and months, you will find that with your tongue, your heart is also saying, oh Allah, grant my Muslim brother health. Grant my Muslim brother goodness. And this love that is entering your heart will be reflected in his heart when you meet him. And he will also begin to love you. If we make this an objective that I want to love all my Muslim brothers, then we will do all this. But we don't see this as a problem. We wish to continue with this grudge and hatred to the extent that we encourage our children to do the same. If there is enmity with somebody, we would encourage our children to keep away from that particular person, to keep away from the children of that particular person. Another method that our mashayikh have shown is to invite him to your home for a cup of tea, whether you like it or not. You invite him once, you invite him twice, you invite him three times, you will see that it's changing inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that exchange gifts amongst yourselves. That will create love, that will strengthen the bond of love that is already there. And in this hadith also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has shown us a remedy. لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not be able to enter Jannah direct without entering the fire of Jahannam until you become perfect believers. ولا تؤمنون حتى تحابوا. And you will not become perfect believers until you begin to love each other. So loving each other is the key to becoming perfect believers. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not show you something which if you begin to practice, you will begin to love each other? So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala must have definitely said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, do show us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afshu salam bainakum. Spread salam amongst you. Spread salam amongst you. When you meet each other, say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The other should say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Slowly, 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 slowly. Hatred will leave your heart. Grudge will leave your heart. Jealousy will leave your heart. And it will be replaced with love, with feeling for your Muslim brother, with good wishes for your Muslim brother. So spread salam amongst you. Whenever we meet each other, we should say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain, they were so particular with salam, because the ruling in regard to salam is that when two Muslims meet after separating, that is the time to do salam. So we have all met, we have not separated now. So if Farooq bhai has already met me and he has done salam to me, I have done salam to him, then we have not separated yet. So he will not do salam, I will not do salam. But if Farooq bhai was to separate from me, I was to separate from him physically for even 2 seconds, then now if we meet each other, we can say Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in was so particular about salam that sometimes when two Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in are walking together and the situation is such that they have to separate because the pathway is very narrow and there is a tree in the middle. So one has to go this way, the other has to go this way. So they are separated only for seconds. But as soon as they see each other, they say Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Why? Because they knew that this will strengthen the bond of love. And if the bond of love is strengthened, we will become perfect believers. And if we become perfect believers, we will go direct into Jannah without going into Jahannam. They also knew that Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu is a dua. So if I say to Farooq bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, I am saying, may the peace of Allah be upon you. May the mercy of Allah be upon you. May the barakah of Allah be upon you. Blessings of Allah be upon you. Let us leave the translation on one side, because these three words are such that no translation can convey their meanings. So may the salam of Allah be upon you, may the rahmat of Allah be upon you, may the barakat of Allah be upon you. Without going into any academic discussion, in a nutshell, all these three words convey one thing. Salam means may Allah Ta'ala grant you goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. Rahmat means Allah, may Allah grant you goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. And barakat also means may Allah grant you goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. So when a person says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, he is saying to his Muslim brother three times, may Allah grant you goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. And when he knows that if I am to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, saying salam is sunnah, but replying to salam is wajib, so it will become incumbent upon my Muslim brother to give me the same duas, three duas. Why would he not do salam? When he knows that he will compel his Muslim brother to pray for him as well. They also knew that assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh brings 30 rewards. And wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh brings 30 rewards. So why shall I not reap the fruits of this salam? And why should I not compel my brother also to reap the fruits of this salam? They also knew that assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh is a message of peace. If you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, there is no reason for him to doubt that you have something against him. And if he replies wholeheartedly and he says wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, there is no reason for you to doubt. When we meet somebody and when we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and he doesn't reply properly, what do we say? We say that he's got something against me. That's why he didn't say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But he cannot say to anybody else that he's got something against me, because he has no proof. You have said assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is a message of peace. This is proof that there is nothing going on between the two of you. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Such a beautiful greeting. Such a beautiful greeting. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he said to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that do you see a group of angels sitting there in Jannah? Adam alayhi salatu wa salam said yes. So he said, go there and say to them, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and listen carefully to what they say. You say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu and listen carefully to what they say. فَإِنَّهَا تَحِيَّتُكَ وَتَحِيَّتُ ذُرِّيَّتِكَ. Because this will be your greeting and the greeting of your whole progeny to come until the day of Qiyamah. So this salam is a greeting which was the greeting of all the Anbiya and all the Ummats. And what a beautiful greeting. This is the only greeting throughout the world that has the remembrance of the Creator. No other greeting has the remembrance of the Creator. Because when you say assalamu alaikum, those people who know the Arabic language means assalamu alaikum means that salam from Allah upon you. And warahmatullahi, Allah is very clearly mentioned, warahmatullahi. And wabarakatuhu, who is a pronoun which refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, not only is he reaping all the benefits that have been mentioned, but he is remembering Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, fadhkuruni yadhkurkum, remember me, I will remember you. So when we do salam to somebody, at that very moment Allah is remembering us. So my friends, whenever we meet each other, we should say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we leave the gathering, we should say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We tend to do salam when we enter the gathering, but when we leave the gathering, we don't do salam. We tend to do salam when we meet strangers. So we feel that the strangers are worthy of my dua, but my wife and children are not worthy of my dua. When we go in our homes, we don't say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was invited by an alim in Medina Munawwara, Sheikh Ahmed, and the Arabs have their way of preparing meal and serving meal. It takes quite a long time to have food with them. You enter the home, he will say, حياكم الله أهلا وسهلا مرحبا بكم حياكم الله أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. So many prayers, he will continue to repeat his prayers. May Allah have peace upon you. أهلا وسهلا, welcome, مرحبا بكم, I am very happy to have you in my home. He will say, sit down. When we sit down, he will again say, حياكم الله أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And then he will leave the room. He will leave the guests in that room and he will leave the room. So the guests will begin to chat with each other. They will introduce themselves and then he will come from inside with bukhur, the smoky bukhur. And he will say, he will enter the room and then he will pass the bukhur to everybody himself and everybody will take the fragrance of the bukhur. And he will again say, حياكم الله أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Everybody will say, Jazakumullah, Jazakumullah, and he will go again inside. And then he will come back with tea. He will bring tea, then he will leave again. Then he will come with the dastarkhan. He will leave again, then he will come with a few things, he will leave again. So he goes and comes back, he goes and comes back. Every time he re-entered the room, he would stand at the door and with a very happy countenance, he would say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ya ikhwani, hayyakumullah. You could see the happiness on his face and the way he was doing the salam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ya ikhwani, hayyakumullah. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. So when we enter our homes, we should say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. If our salam is not heard, then when we enter the home, we should say salam, and when we enter the room, we should say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we leave the home, we should say to the wife that I'm leaving, I'm going to the masjid for salat, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We leave our homes 4, 5, 6, 7 times during the day. So 6, 7 times leaving, 6, 7 times entering, we pray for her and she prays for her. Will any problem enter the house? But there is no dua for each other. We have been taught that even if there is nobody in the house, we should enter the house with the greeting, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So friends, let us spread salam amongst ourselves. Young, old, make salam to everybody. Those you know, those you don't know, make salam to everybody. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it is a sign of Qiyamah that nearer the time of Qiyamah, people will only make salam to those people who they know. We witness this in all the masajid. If we know somebody, we will say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If we don't know, we will not make salam. If there is a Somali brother or an Arab brother or a Palestinian brother or a Bangladeshi brother, then we as a Gujarati community, because we don't know, so we will do salam to him, neither he will do salam to us, because we don't know him and he doesn't know us. This is not the problem with the Gujarati community only. It is a problem everywhere. In Haram Sharif, we meet so many people coming, going, how many people do salam to each other? This has gone away from the ummah. So spread salam, Allah will create love. And in order to create love for each other, we need to learn to forgive and forget. That is also important. And this love will bring us the proximity and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك
يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء لا تسألنا عن شيء واغفر لنا كل شيء. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعلها اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.